Welcome to Little Page Big Book.
If we wrote a book and a podcast.
With your host, Brian and Grace Little Page.
Enjoy the episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. Hope you guys are having a fantastic or swell day. How are you, Grace?
Swell. I am swell. That's a great word.
That's right. Yes. Swell. Or swole, you know.
Both.
Yes. Flexing.
Swole and swell.
Swole and swell.
You should get that on a t-shirt.
Yes. John Shears, I'm giving you a shout out because you're always swole because you eat like 15 eggs a day.
That's why they had to get their own chickens.
Actually, I was going to say, they actually have to get their own chickens. One day we should have them on.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be hilarious. I mean, you know you got an egg problem if you're buying chickens to produce eggs because you like eggs. Yeah. But eggs are very healthy. So they John Shears is actually
probably
very
like
healthy.
The best kind of eggs.
Oh, yeah.
When you see him, tell him to bring some eggs.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Ripped. I know.
And you're going to be going skiing with him.
That's right.
He's a week from today.
Yes. Yes, we are. I'm very excited. Yeah. In the words of skiing term, I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. If I could go for like 2 or 3 days, I totally would. I'm so excited.
I know.
Like, they got, they got a lot of snow, so we're going to go in the woods.
Well, you'll have to catch us up about your trip when we come back.
Absolutely. Yes. If you're praying for me, if you're keeping me in your prayers at all.
Just no injuries.
No injuries. I've been doing it since I've been 2, so I have a lot of experience. So I'm not like I'm a bad skier, but you just never know.
Well,
and injuries can happen to anybody. And it's been a couple of years since we've gone. Probably about 3 at least.
You'll be fine. So I mean, it's not like you're going anywhere dangerous or anything. You just need to be smart.
I mean, I'm going into the woods if I get a chance.
I know, but like, you know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not going like jumping off a cliff or anything like that.
No.
No, that's next year. JK.
Anyway.
I'm never planning on jumping off any cliffs. I have a family, so kind of changed some things a little bit. But anyway, I'm excited. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. And I was gonna say earlier, John is like a what do they call it? Like a stud McMuffin.
All right, was that necessary?
No, not at all. Wait, he's probably laughing when he hears this.
Hopefully,
he's laughing.
I know he's laughing at us.
So how about them Eagles?
Yeah, we were excited to watch the Super Bowl last time.
Yeah.
And it was a great outcome for Philadelphia.
That's right. BTA. Beat that bleep.
Okay. That was unnecessary.
You're right. That was unnecessary. Sorry.
This is a family friendly.
I know. Yeah. I didn't say any bad words.
I know, but you insinuated a bad word.
Yeah. That's okay. Forgive me.
Anyway, yeah, it was a great game. Philadelphia has been going crazy.
Game.
I kind of wish we were there because it's the vibes are good.
Vibes. Remember that story of the lady you said that she's getting married on the day of the parade downtown? And if anyone's ever been in the Philly, first of all, it can be a little congested going down in town. And to let alone do it on Valentine's Day, because it's going to be congested as it is. And then you want to do it when the parade's happening. Now, I know they didn't know that's going to happen, but that's still pretty wild.
If you want to understand the amount of people that were there, just go look up some pictures, and it's insane. I mean,
nuts.
There's no driving.
Nuts. No,
downtown.
No.
By the art museum.
No. Zero.
Except for the bus that was taking the Eagles team.
Yeah. You got to get the train and walk. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But super excited because there's so many people that are huge Eagles fans, and they live their whole lives, and they never seen them win a Super Bowl. So the fact they've seen them win 2 in the last, like, 7 years is pretty awesome, and I'm excited. Appreciate it. I love it. You know, love to see a team win, and it does so much for the city because they're Eagles all the way. They can care about they love their other sports, but they're football. It's a football city. So it was awesome. I got to wear my Randall Cunningham jersey to work on Monday. I walked through the doors and I just spread my, I was like, yes, if only you can see me right now. I'm like, yeah, baby, we did it. I say we, even though like I didn't do anything, but I'm like, we did it, you know.
You know, usually we're like, you know, football is fun to watch. You know, I know Brian enjoys it more than I do, but I think we got into it a little bit more this season. Especially like when you have like a little boy, it's fun to watch on a Sunday. But this was cool just because like the dynamics of the team and stuff. It's just cool to see.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was great.
It's awesome. So fun. And it was fun watching the game. And they definitely put the smack down on the Chiefs.
Oh.
Sorry if you're a Chiefs fan.
I'm not sorry.
I know. We.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm glad you lost. I hope you cried. Cry me a river. Okay. Oh. All right. So give us a fun fact before we get into things.
Ugh, why did you do this?
I don't know.
I should have been ready.
You know, we had a fun fact and I had something that you said and I can't remember what it was. I should have wrote it down. Can't remember now.
When?
I don't know. Like a week ago?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. If you are a parent and also a parent of a toddler, things kind of don't stick as well in your brain.
That's true. Okay. How about this then? To all my peoples out there who have kids, did your toddler go through stages of not wanting to eat any of their food?
I think that is pretty common.
I'm sure it's
we
common.
We do have a, give me some feedback. a particular
He's a particular kid child. With his food. I was too. Yeah. I understand
I also
that.
Think that he is going through some development teething stuff. So I think that's probably part of it.
But give me, I want to hear some feedback from the peeps out there.
The peeps.
Yeah. If you had
toddler
peeps, let me know if your kid ever just said, I'm not eating that. And I love it, but I'm not eating it.
And all he wants is animal crackers and pretzels.
Yeah, and pouches.
Yeah.
Specifically yogurt pouches.
We're trying to give him more meat because he needs more iron, but I think we're just going to have to give him something to supplement
it. We'll figure it out.
You know, I don't know if it's genetic, but Brian, this is a fun fact about Brian. He was an incredibly picky child and would only consume chicken nuggets and hot dogs.
Okay, first of all, that sounds very strong, by the way. So, mom, I know you're listening. You have every right to call Grace out on this because it's not 100% true. Okay, it was three things. It's macaroni and cheese in there, okay?
Okay.
All right, hot dogs, mac and cheese,
related.
And chicken nuggets. And I loved milk at the time, all right? Okay, so four.
Okay, so I also have to tell this one quick fun fact about Brian. So a few years back, we were cleaning out his grandmother's basement. We were actually, I think, about to move here. So we were just like cleaning some things out, and we found some old school documents of Brian's. And he wrote this beautiful essay about the importance and the uses of ketchup and barbecue sauce.
Correct. Yes.
It was very well articulated.
I know. I got an
middle
A.
school.
Oh,
elementary school.
I think middle school.
Yeah, I think you're like fifth or sixth grade, maybe. Yeah. And yeah, it was pretty comical because it was a very serious letter.
Very serious. You don't put ketchup on a steak. That's like blasphemy.
But you put ketchup on a cheesesteak.
Dude, it's two different things.
Okay.
Two different things.
Okay.
Two different things.
Because people think we're super weird for putting ketchup on a cheesesteak.
These are also the people that bring deer head to our job. That's the weirdos.
Okay, here's a fun fact, and this will be our last fun fact. Brian and I used to work together a few years ago before we had our son, and Brian still works there. And I think it was probably in the first couple months of me working there. So we moved, you know, from Columbus or to Columbus from Philadelphia. I didn't have a job for a few months. Brian had a job since we moved. And then I got hired a few months later. And to say the least, this place should have a reality TV show because of the people that work there. It's the most interesting place I've ever worked, let alone been in. And I lasted 3 years, which was quite a long time for me, especially with the kind of environment that I was in. Anyway, so I remember one day, a couple months in, you know, driving up to the office, not in the greatest area in Columbus. The whole building looks like a cinder block because there's no windows. It's made of cinder blocks,
so
but literally there's no windows. And I'm pulling up, trying to find a place to park. And one of our coworkers, Corbin, who is very much interesting.
Yes.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious.
So
he's so funny.
He's like rummaging through this giant trash bag. I'm like, what is he doing? And then he pulls out this big buck head, a severed deer head. This is not one that's been mounted. This has been one that has been freshly chopped off. And I'm just looking at him like, what the? And he's just like smiling at me, like, like laughing. And I'm like, this is not funny. Like, this is disgusting. Like, these people that we work with. And I'm like, from that day on, I should have just known that I would have just had multiple stories.
You know, it's bad. And I've told him this because I ran to one of his friends one time at a Sheetz. And he's like, the guy's like, where do you work? I was like, Communal. He's like, do you know Corbin? I was like, yeah. He's like, man, I'm best friends with him. He's like, do you ever wonder, like, where does he come up with half the stuff he says? And I'm like, dude, I have no idea. So I saw Corbin. I was like, and I ran to your buddy. He's just like, where do you come up with half this stuff? And he's like, Corbin's like, I have no idea.
Homie has, like, such a nice, beautiful wife, too. Like,
we all are, like, when we first met her, we're like, God bless you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you.
I
mean,
she has to know, but yeah. It's just... I feel like you see a different side, though, like,
yeah, sure.
The environment you work in. But anyway, yeah, we had a lot of laughs and just shaking our head moments for those few years that we lived or we worked together.
Comedy Central in that place. We could talk about that place for, like, hours.
And one last fact about that place. I remember one day I was, like, the executive assistant, basically, office manager to a little bit of degree. And the branch manager, I worked directly for him, and his office was right next to mine. So I had the worst placement of an office because the men's bathroom was literally right next to my door. And not only can you smell everything, but you can hear everything. Another story for another time. But then you can also hear everything coming from my manager's office. And I remember one day I hear him clipping his nails in his office. Where he eats, works, everything. And I'm just like, this is not happening. I mean, you know, we're both kind of from, like, more of the city, you know, not really around people that are, like, really hunted or, you know, like, the culture out here is a little different.
True.
And just the things that these people think is okay in a work environment, you would never see in corporate America today because these people would all get written up all the time for their behavior.
This wouldn't happen at the main corporate office.
Never. And yeah, I remember we had to clean out his office one time and I just wanted to vomit the whole time because not only were there nail clippings and just food everywhere, but there was rat droppings all over his desk. And I'm like, I don't get paid enough for this. This is just not okay. I got multiple raises when I worked there, to say the least, because you had to.
It had to.
It's like, I can't lose you. And then I got pregnant, and I was like, yeah, I'm not staying here. There's no
way. We're out.
You don't pay me enough. But yeah, anyway, we had a lot of fun times those first few years. Humbling first couple years here in Columbus.
Yeah. There's a lot of good moments.
Yeah.
So that's a fun fact. Yeah. There you go. So you got a few tonight, a few fun facts.
I should be more prepared next time, but those are good.
Yeah, but off the cuff, I feel like it just flows. You know what I'm just saying?
I feel like it's easier when we can, like, tell ones about each other because I don't know what's fun about myself.
A lot of things are fun about you, Grace.
So fun. Well, we're gonna kinda jump away from I mean, we're still going to laugh, but we'll get into a little bit more. I know last episode we talked about filling you guys in about what's been going on in our life and going a little bit deeper about what's been going on with our kiddo and just some things we learned over the past couple months going through that. This coming week, actually, when this episode comes out, we'll have our last follow-up appointment at Children's Hospital with him. Which is really exciting because, you know, we've hunkered down the past 2 months, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about 8 weeks of just kind of keeping him as healthy as possible while he's, you know, going through the checklist that the doctors have for him. But, do you want to start the story off? Or I can if you want.
Why don't you start?
Yeah. Okay, so a couple weeks before Christmas, you know, he started to have some symptoms and things like that. And we thought maybe it was like strep or something because he wasn't really eating. He had started having some fevers. And sometimes when he's teething, he'll get some fevers and stuff here and there. We're not afraid of fevers, you know, they're definitely normal, but he was just not acting himself. And so for a few days, he was like high fevers. Nothing was really helping him out. You know, we try to be as natural as we can up until a point, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. And so one day he woke up and he had this huge lump on his neck, on his left side. And that freaked me out. I was like, that doesn't look normal. And it, you could tell it was painful for him or whatever. And so I think I sent a picture to his doctor. His doctor's like 5-10 minutes away from us. So we got in that day and we, again, we thought it was just a swollen lymph node, which is what it was. And his doctor just kind of advised us to give him some antibiotics to help, you know, if he does have strep, because it seemed like he did have something like that.
Yep.
Well, then the next day, it seemed like he was potentially having a reaction to this
penicillin.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so she prescribed him a different medicine. Can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember. Nope.
Long name. And it seemed like he had another reaction, meaning that he had this huge rash breakout all over his body, still super high fevers. Didn't seem like he was getting too much better, maybe no. A little bit. And she's like, it's very unlikely that he's allergic to both. So we recommend, you know, taking him to the children's hospital here. And I remember being like, I do not want to take him to the hospital. Like, is this really that serious? You know?
Yeah, she's so like, let's take him now. And I'm like, it is 10 o'clock, 9:30 at night.
Yeah, it was like right when we were about to put him in bed. And we're like, let's just see how he does tonight. Right. And the whole night, none of us slept. And it was like, he was miserable. And I'm like, All right. You know, and I remember you came to me in the morning. You're like, his fever's like pretty high. We need to go.
It was like 103.4.
Yeah, I think the highest it got was like 104.
Yeah.
And again, you know, fevers happen, but this was like, nothing was helping take this down. And you can tell that something wasn't totally right. And the fact that his whole body had this rash.
Well, remember the rash change. It like changed from like
that little like hives to like.
It's like splotches everywhere. Yep.
Yeah. And so the next morning we got up, got ready, and just didn't really eat anything. You know, I think you just never think that you're going to be there that long.
No, I had this like gut feeling. I'm like, maybe we should pack a day bag just in case.
I know.
And I was like, oh, no, but we'll just come back probably later on tonight or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and you know, like we're the kind of people too that are like, nope, it's going to be fine. Like positive mindset, like, you know, we prayed, it was fine. So the whole way we're driving to the hospital, it's like a half an hour from here to this children's hospital. And honestly, so grateful that we live by one of the best children's hospitals in the country. They're amazing. And, you know, no one likes to go to the hospital, especially bringing your kid. And so we honestly got admitted or got checked in super fast. Everybody was awesome. I don't think we really waited that long.
No, not to get checked in the ER. No, with the ER, and we got checked in pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, they go through, you have to talk to a million different people about the symptoms and, you know, what's going on. And that's where I think as time went on, we're like, they're testing him for literally everything. They had to take a ton of blood.
Well, when the first doctor came in and she looked, the first, so to kind of step back, like they assumed that he had like an infectious disease. Yeah. So remember the first doctor, she came in and she's like, I don't know what this is. So
I forgot about that.
She's like looking at it because like the rashes kind of like freaked them out from what I gathered, because they're like, that rash does not look normal. And then remember they got the other doctor, and that's when the other doctor, like her, I guess, boss was like, yeah, I'm pretty confident it's Kawasaki. And at the time, he had that thick accent, remember? So we're like,
yeah,
and he had
a mask saying on. A lot of different things.
And we're like, what the heck are you saying? Like, I have no idea what you're saying right now. Like, say that again. And I couldn't interpret what he was saying. But either which way, remember, he's like, we're going to test for a lot of stuff right now before we pass this along.
Yeah, he said it could be that. It could be something else. Like, he kind of gave a few options. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they could tell a lot through his blood. But they, like, swabbed. I'm pretty sure they tested him for COVID, for
They did COVID strep.
They did.
Yeah.
I think anything you can think of. Mm-hmm. And he also was having like some issues on his mouth, like his lips were
so swollen.
Really swollen. Like his whole face, like was red. His eyes were red.
Yep.
So it was concerning. And you know, you're waiting there all day, haven't eaten. We're all exhausted in this tiny little room, and you're just trying to comfort your kiddo. And I think a couple hours later.
Oh, easily. It was probably 4 hours almost.
Easily. That we were in the room. And that doctor came back in and was like, yeah, there's definitely some inflammation we're seeing in his blood. And something's definitely like off. So we're going to have to admit you.
Yeah, because he was like, there's a 97% chance you're going to get admitted. But there's a chance that you might not get admitted.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude. Thanks.
Yeah. And they're like, we don't really know what it is, but we're going to have to consult the doctors in the infectious disease department and we'll get some feedback. And so I think it was by like 3 o'clock that day,
mm-hmm.
we got admitted and got to go up to our room and everything. And you're just like, what the heck is happening? We're all so hungry. We're not prepared at all mentally for a stay. And mm-hmm. so finally, like we get checked in. You go, I think you went back to the house or you went to go get some food.
Got some food for us.
So we can just like level out a little bit. I remember I've never been so hungry. Like I'm so exhausted, hungry, don't feel good. And poor kid finally like passes out. They had like a crib basically there for him. And then right after he falls asleep and you're going to get food, a doctor comes in to just like turn on the lights, take pictures of him. You know, they're trying to just figure out, like, what this is. And they can really take a good look with their whole team. And places like the Nationwide Children's Hospital, they have tons of doctors. And they also are a teaching hospital. So you have residents. You have, like, you know.
There's like, yeah, you have, like, everything. Eight doctors that stroll through in your room.
Yeah, every day. Yep. They would come in with a whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
And, so everyone was truly wonderful. We had really great nurses, and everyone treated us so well. I think the very first nurse that we had, she was our nurse the most consistently while we were there.
Yep.
And she was literally an angel, like
yeah,
a gift from
great.
God.
She was great.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
But anyway, I remember they're just like coming in every few hours just to check on him and everything. And I can't really remember, maybe you'll remember, when they, I think it was the next day maybe, they came to us and
yeah, the next
it
day.
Was a plan.
The next day is pretty much. I mean, you got to remember they didn't really know what it was,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't want to jump to conclusion because they wanted to eliminate that every possible disease. I don't think their intentions is to treat Kawasaki right away, because it is pretty invasive of a treatment, right?
Yeah.
So they were like questioning, like, "Hey, has he been in a stream? Has he been over here? Have you guys been out of the country? Have you been out of the state recently? Blah, blah, blah." So they're kind of like, they were testing everything. But they also had to give it another day. Remember, they had to give it a full 24 hours to hit 5 days of a fever.
Yeah.
And that was
a high fever.
Yeah. And that was a sign for them that, okay, he probably has Kawasaki because that's one of the things is he's so inflamed that he's just running a fever.
Yeah.
And remember, and that's what that was the plan on the next day. They were like, okay, well, we're going to find out. If the fever breaks, then we know it's not this. But if the fever doesn't break, we're going to probably proceed down this path.
Yeah.
And because you give them Tylenol and the fever will break for like an hour.
And yeah, it was super temporary.
Yeah. And so.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's what I was going to say. So, yeah, that was Thursday when we were in there. So we checked in on a Wednesday. By Thursday, here's our plan. But we're also sitting there saying, you really don't even know what this is yet because they they won't make it.
So we're
call.
Waiting for answers too. And they're like, we're really sorry. We're really just wanting to figure out what this is.
Because remember a lot of the things they said, excuse me, that threw them off was really the rash changing because everything else was like steady with what Kawasaki was, but they're like, the rash is really what's different for us. I remember the main doctor, he was just like, it's the rash change that kind of just making me hesitant right now because that's not common with Kawasaki. But Kawasaki's
like
not common.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so when they started to kind of explain what this Kawasaki's disease is and, you know, anything that says has disease at the end of it is like not very comforting. But we had done a little bit of research too after they told us that's what they thought it was. And it did check out with his symptoms. But also, yeah, like you said, the rash he had wasn't as common to what it normally would look like. But again, this is a super rare disease. They don't really know what causes it, which is really frustrating for them. because they have no idea. They don't even have like a really good test for it. It's just kind of like a list of symptoms and ruling things out. So it's very hard for them to diagnose. But their protocol for treatment was, you know, so the issue with Kawasaki's that can come up is that it's inflammation in your blood vessels. And so if there's anything that goes to your heart, it can cause potential long-term heart problems. Now we're like, you know, that's not going to happen. But, you know, they do have to check his heart. So they ended up giving us a game plan. They said they were going to put him on aspirin to prevent any potential clotting in his blood. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to sedate him and give him an echocardiogram. So basically an ultrasound on his heart. So they did that. Was that Friday?
Yeah, that was Friday.
Okay, yep. So Friday we went down. They did that for – it was – A little bit of time.
Yep.
But everything was good. His heart was perfect. No signs of any issues or anything, which was like perfect. That's what they want to see. And then they gave us the plan of how to, you know, what they do to treat this. And the cool part about it was nobody ever was like, he's never going to get better. Like he's going to have this forever. It's kind of like they never see it reoccurring if it's taken care of properly. And so they basically flush it out of your system. But the caveat is, you know, if your fevers don't go away, then you have to keep getting treated until you're cleared.
You got to do it at least twice.
Yeah. So what they did was, it's called IVIG. It's a blood treatment, which is a bunch of antibodies from like hundreds of people. It's really insane.
Yeah. It's probably thousands, really.
Oh, truly. And it's very expensive. For that reason, because they have to gather antibodies, you know, from thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Each like IV bag is just, it's amazing what they're able to do with medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's a 12-hour treatment. So this poor kid had to be hooked up to an IV for 12 hours overnight. And the plan is after the treatment's done, you have a clock of 24 hours. And if there's no fever after the 24 hours, you're pretty much good to go.
Yep.
And so he did the treatment. Fever stopped. You know, it was pretty good. And then literally 2 hours, an hour.
An hour before
the clock ran out, he had a fever.
Yep.
Which we were grateful that if he was going to fever, that we were still there and we weren't back at home. Because that would be even more traumatic to have to come back to the hospital.
Absolutely.
And so they basically were like, hey, we're going to do it again.
Yep.
So another 15 grand.
He was that kid that needed two of them. And the doctor said, hey, 7 out of 10 respond to the first one. 3 out of 10 need a second one. I said, well, Aiden just became the 3 out of 10.
You're just unique.
I said, thanks, kid.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
I think it was another like overnight.
That was another treatment right after that.
It was like 3 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Yep.
And he had a fever not too long after that.
Yeah. So once he got through the second one, you know, first of all, let's kind of take a quick pause because we're just telling you a whole bunch of medical stuff. But, you know, in the situation of time, we had to have a few laughs in there because we're like, listen, there's nothing we can do right now to change the situation, but we can keep a positive attitude and laugh about certain things. And one of the biggest things, and I think we hit on this last time, we're like, listen, this kid better come out like a ninja or something, you know, like, you know, a karate kid, because you got a disease from called Kawasaki. So obviously we know that's Asian, right? And I'm like, sorry, I'm stereotyping right now, but I'm like, listen,
Japanese.
I'm like, listen, man, this kid better come out knowing kung fu. Like, seriously.
He's going to wake up. I know kung fu.
Yeah, we're like talking about the Matrix. We're like, I know kung fu. I'm like, okay, well, he clearly didn't get it the first time. So we're going to give it to him the second time. And then on the second time, he's definitely going to wake up saying, I know kung fu, right? Well, he didn't wake up saying, I know kung fu. So anyway, he woke up with still fevering.
He was pretty lethargic for a few days, like just slept days.
He did. And I mean, he was exhausted. And you got to remember, like, they're coming in every four hours.
Yeah, every 4 hours.
You know,
to check his vitals.
Check your vitals. And then
give medicine.
Yeah, give medicine. And then sometimes the CPNA or whatever they're called, CPNs or whatever they are, they wouldn't communicate with the nurse. So sometimes she might come in and do a vital check And then an hour later, the nurse is coming in to administrate, mm-hmm. you know, and they, especially the night nurses, did not communicate that well.
No, so it's like, you were just here. I'm like,
dude, you were just here an hour ago. I just got this kid, go back to sleep, you know? Yeah. So that was a big thing. And once he went through his second treatment and he didn't wake up saying, I know Kung Fu, I was like, darn. But, you know, they then had to bring in rheumatology who deal with like your joints and all that stuff because he was so swollen. Mm-hmm. From the inflammation in his knees and his feet. Like, we're like, yeah, he has dense feet, but like...
Yeah, they're really But they were really swollen.
And you knew something was up because he wouldn't walk.
Yeah, he was like really in pain like, when he would try to walk.
Right, he was in pain. And what turned the corner was rheumatology said, listen, there's two things we can give him. We give him steroids mm-hmm. or there's some other drug. And she's like, it's just ridiculously expensive. But if you don't want to do steroids, you can pay this drug. And we're just like, just give him the steroids.
Yeah.
And they gave him the steroids, and within hours,
It was like an hour or two.
He was like
perked up.
Perked up, started walking.
Wanted to eat again.
So you can tell that what he, and they said some, again, they were like, sometimes they need a little extra. And I'm like, well, he's that kid and he's needed a little extra. Like, dang.
Yeah.
You know? But the silver lining, I guess, to it all is at the end of the day, you know, they did their part and he was fine. And it's a good thing we listened to, you know, the recommendation of going there because he had inflammation in his joints. He had inflammation in his eyes, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they were like, listen, if the steroids don't work, we're going to do like a pretty much a full body x-ray from like his, remember they were saying it's from his chest cavity.
Yeah.
To make sure nothing else was inflamed because Kawasaki just seems to inflame everything. It just spreads. The inflammation starts to spread. Mm-hmm. And so, but the steroids were. Yeah.
So glad we didn't have to do that. Please tell me. And this is also like Christmas week.
Oh, yeah. This is right before Christmas. Yeah.
And my parents were in town, which I'm so glad they were there because it really gave us a break, you know, here and there to be able to go eat or we had some visitors and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. So to keep it short, like that was the process from it. And then we steroids, he got checked out, mm-hmm. right? And then afterwards we're down to giving him like, I don't know, five medications a day. Right?
Yeah, we had to take him to an eye doctor.
Yeah, so eye doctor appointments, we had, you know, the heart scan appointments, we had rheumatology appointments, but I remember when we first came back home, we're looking at him. We're like, man, this kid lost weight.
So much weight.
And, you know,
pants were falling off.
Yeah, for a 2.5-year-old, he lost like a pound and a half, maybe. Yeah. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't eating for almost 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, really eating.
Yeah, I mean, his pants were falling with diapers falling down. Even, you know, and so, but, you know, the positivity and the thing about it all is that he made a great recovery. And there was no doubt, and what I appreciate about the doctors, and you can see and I don't know if you caught this, but I caught it with like the older doctor versus the younger one. Mm-hmm. The younger one would say something and the older doctor would interject and he's like, but that's rare.
That serious. Yeah.
Like, he's like, that's super rare though. Mm-hmm. Like
he had like amazing people skills for a doctor.
Yes. He didn't bring like any fear into the room. He was just like, he acknowledged like, yes, that could happen. But it's super, super rare.
Yeah. Don't worry really about appreciate it. That from him.
Yeah. And he was a Philly guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He loved the Eagles. He was like, or no, he loved the 76ers, but we talked about cheesesteaks. And he loved skiing.
He used to live in Philly. Yeah. And then one of the other doctors went to Temple.
She went to Temple. And I was like, come on, this is a win-win.
Yeah.
But that was very helpful for us because they were super, they were real, but they were also like positive. And they're like, hey, this is an autoimmune disease, but also it's very curable. He's not going to have any long-term effects. We're going to monitor it. We're going to follow the process, and it's going to be fine. And we believe the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really key because we're like, let's, at the end of the day, I said, Aiden's going to walk out of here just fine, and he'll gain his strength back. He'll be A-OK. Mm-hmm. Did he have to take some time to get his strength back? Yes. Did he have a little, I swear he had a little bit of PTSD.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
From people coming in the middle of the night and just.
It took us a while to get him to sleep through the night.
Yeah. I mean, because I remember people coming to 3 a.m. and draw blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or 6 a.m. in the morning.
Scary.
Which is, yeah, for a 2.5-year-old, yeah. right? So I think that was, you know, sorry, we just looked at our monitor. We thought we just heard him screaming.
I think it was him.
So, but anyway, we had all those things that we saw and we experienced, but a positive attitude behind it, knowing that there's peace and joy and through, you know, I won't say it's not joyful, but we had peace in that moment. Mm-hmm. But we also knew that he'll be totally fine. And I think what is also now great is that we can actually utilize this story to help people. And I was telling Grace a while ago, we man, it's probably about like 3 weeks ago, I had to go pick up medicine for him. And there was a lady in front of me, and she had a child at Children's, and kid had an ear infection that they can't figure out, like, why he keeps getting these ear infections. And you can tell she was, like, emotionally distraught. And, you know, my thing through all this was, like, there's always someone that has it way worse than mm-hmm. we do.
I'm telling you.
And I don't know. I might have traded the ear infection for this, right? But at the end of the day, I was able to just quickly tell her, like, it's going to be fine. Like, I was in Children's for a week. You'll be okay with two blood transfusions.
They'll figure it out.
You know, like, you're going to figure it out. It's mm-hmm. totally fine. But I also know there's people that have been in Children's for a year, right? Like your mother ran this to a lady who said when she was a mom, she was in there for like a year.
Yeah. I'm can like, you imagine?
I can't imagine being in there for a year. So
we have a lot to be grateful for.
We have so much to be grateful for that it was only a week. It was something that we knew was curable. It was treatable. There's no long-term effects. And that was what brought a lot of peace into the situation, was that once they had the answer and they're like, hey, he's going to be fine. This is curable. Mm-hmm. Just got to go through the process now.
And yeah, you're just your like way. In the moment, you just want to go home. And,
yeah.
You know, you want your kid to be better and exactly. feel better and be back to himself. I mean, not seeing your kiddo smile for several days can really weigh on you. But, you know, I think what you said is so true. Like, when you're in it, you – and this is the thing, like – you hear a lot, you got to prepare your mind and spirit for when things try to come at you so that you can handle it and know how to respond properly. And I think there's been so many situations and seasons where we've prepared our hearts and minds for, not saying that we weren't emotional at times or just exhausted and stuff, but like we were never doubting that he would be okay. And, you know, it really does matter how you respond to when things do happen, because it can really affect the outcome of your experience with everything. And I remember even one of the nurses, the nurse that was with us the most, she was like, you guys really have been so wonderful. And this is why I love, you know, what I do, because of families like you. Mm, I remember just being like, and she had said a couple things too while we were there that were just so nice and encouraging. And it was like, you know, it really does matter how you treat people, especially when you're in stressful situations like that, because you know, for us, like, we never wanted to be difficult. We had no opportunity, really, to be difficult.
Right.
You know, and the situation warranted us to have to trust these doctors, because this is the kind of thing that you're not just going to not give him a treatment, you know.
Correct.
They're not going to let you leave, one. And then, two, there's some wisdom there where it's like, you know what? These doctors know so much more than we do. But also we know that they're going to take care of him and that he is going to be fine. And we're going to walk out of here with a healthy child.
Absolutely.
You know, and so even the last appointment we had, they did another echocardiogram and they took some blood and we saw the rheumatologist, and they all were just like floored with how well he looked and how well he was doing.
Yep.
And you
yep.
look at him now and you're like, you would never know that exactly. he was that sick, you know, for that couple weeks, really.
Yeah.
And so it's just been really encouraging. And on Wednesday, we'll have our last checkup, and he's had no symptoms, nothing reoccurring. He's been healthier than ever. I mean, my goodness, he should be bulletproof at this point.
Yeah. You have like double the amount of antibodies.
Yeah.
You should be, nothing can touch you ever.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But yeah, I think, you know, I remember, I think my mom said something to us while we were there, like, you guys are being really strong and really positive and all this. And it's like, well, we just know he'll be fine. And yeah. I think sometimes yep. when you're in it, you kind of disassociate a little bit too from what you're experiencing, especially when it's your child, because mm-hmm. it's so out of your control in a way that, you know, when it's yourself, it's a little different
right.
than when it's your own child. But I am so grateful for the fact that you and I were in agreement about, you know, we're going to work through this and he's going to be fine. And we're going to do everything we need to do to work together in this, because it is a stressful environment because you're not sleeping well and, you know, just a lot going on. But I am grateful that you are the way you are, because you're so peaceful and calm and steady that you weren't emotionally driven about the things that were going on, you know? And I'm grateful for that in a husband, because I know that when something happens that's either stressful or scary, that you are going to be super, you know, in tune with the Lord and level-headed when it comes to these type of situations. That's why you want to pick a good spouse, friends.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I couldn't have done that without you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. A lot of people asked, they were like, oh, how's Grace doing? And I was like, she's doing fine. Like, and I think people expected, like, maybe you'd be like an emotional basket case or something, like you're all over the place. I was like, no, but she's pretty well grounded. She's chill. I mean, yeah, we all have our moments, but at the end of the day, I was like, she's doing fine. Like, she's handled it just fine. Like, there's nothing, like, I think, you know, we both knew, like, there's nothing else we can do.
Yeah.
So what's the point of worrying at this point? I don't need to worry. You know, the enemy just wants you to worry.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll be fine. He's going to be fine.
I think what's funny too, sorry, well, thank you for saying that. But yeah, I think what's funny too is a lot of people are like, man, that must have been really expensive, or, you know. And I think even like when we were there, one, you're not thinking about how much it's going to cost in the moment anyway.
No.
You just want your kid to be healthy and fine. But on the other hand, there's so much confidence that God's going to help us out with this. Like, you know, obviously we have insurance, but what's really cool is we had someone come in, into the hospital room who is a social worker, and said that the Kawasaki's disease falls in line with some state funding to help families fill in the gaps of what their insurance can't. So I was just like, God's already got this covered.
That's
like,
right.
We're not even worried about that. And yeah, it's a super unexpected, nobody expects to go through that, but it's just cool because we know, and we've built ourselves up enough in the Word and in our faith that, God does meet all of our needs, and we've always seen that happen. When
Absolutely.
Things have happened, you know, that were nearly, not even this serious, but he always has provided for us, and we know that he's always going to, and he has. And, you know, we're so grateful that he's healthy and growing, and I swear, also, those antibodies made him grow several inches.
Had to.
Because he's growing so fast and so healthy.
It was the steroids.
It was the steroids.
I said, if you don't come out like Arnold, we're done. Or Ronnie Coleman.
I remember when they were, like, giving us all the instructions for his medicine and stuff, and we got it dwindled down to just one for the last few weeks. But they're like, yeah, you know, he will might have a little, like, rage. And we're like, roid rage?
Yeah,
and we're like,
roids.
Yeah, basically. And honestly, he was so good, like, and poor kid, when we had to give him all that medicine, it was like torture for all of us,
yeah.
Especially the eye drops.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was very short-lived, praise the good Lord. But yeah, so we will be excited to be done with all this and go back to just the normal toddler life that we can live. And also, it's so cold that it's hard to be inside a lot. But we're about
what
to.
What are we gonna do? Yeah.
I know.
What are we gonna do? The kid, nothing can do about it.
No.
We're like, all right, let's got to roll with it. You know,
it's for a
little. The good thing is he's not going to remember any of this.
Yeah. I think that's also like really comforting that he won't remember this. And
no, he won't.
But yeah, so we're at the 43 minute mark. So
ooh, 43 minutes.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Well, thanks for sticking around for our story. And hopefully, you know, obviously sometimes like the medical stuff can be a lot, but I think at the end of the day, we just wanted to give an update and also a praise report that, you know, when stuff happens and you're walking through a storm, you know, just trust and lean on God to show you and give you wisdom on what steps to take, because, you know, we need him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's why it says you can lean on him, and, you know, everything's easy. It's simpler, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you can lean on him and just, it's just at the end, of, and I'll just end on this. At the end of the day, you know, it's natural to have fear. It's natural to worry. It's just don't dwell in it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've been very thankful, like, I can separate that and just, like, there's no need to dwell on the fear, because when you've lived through moments where God has shown up in your life, you have this underlying confidence that he's going to show up here too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the amount of stories we can have, and we've shared some of them, but we haven't shared all of them, about the financial things or times where he showed up, like, you know, for a health thing or whatever. It's, you get this confidence knowing that no matter what the situation looks like, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything's covered. And you're right. You don't worry about the financial, how much something costs, because it's your kid. You want to see your kid live. Like, I don't care. We'll figure that part out later.
Yeah.
You know? But that is also, that was the biggest thing, is it, when you're going through that, you can stare at the situation. You can acknowledge the situation, but have faith in that the Lord's going to provide. You're going to get your, if you're sick or someone is sick, they're going to get healed. And just like, you know, when, that's the example he uses. We know in the Bible where it talks about Jesus standing on the water and Peter, was it Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peter goes to walk out, you know, onto the water, and he walks on the water. But then he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he falls, he has fear, and he falls into the water, mm-hmm. right? And that's the same thing, is if you just keep your eyes focused on the word and what it says, and you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you don't got to worry about all the noise.
Yep.
It's fine.
Exactly.
Everything will work out just fine. So that's all I have to say about that.
That's good.
And that's the bottom line. Because Brian said so.
Okay.
Good night.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.